this is one example where one can say that the ranking of the job, right from top to bottom, the one rank will be general manager, the second rank can be given to marketing manager, third will be production manager, fourth will be accounting manager, fifth will be plant engineer, sixth will be accountant, seventh will be a sales representative, eighth will be plant supervisor, and ninth will be paymaster, who is giving the pay to the contractual laborers. So, bigger the job content, higher the job responsibility, higher the accountability, it will go at a higher rank. While lower the job content, lower the responsibility and accountability, it will go towards the lower rank. So this is how one can use the job ranking as the method of job evaluation when it's a kind of small hospital, where total number of jobs to be evaluated are comparatively less, say 8 to 10. But more the number of jobs, larger the hospital, then it will be very difficult for you to rank the jobs accordingly, and hence different kinds of methods may be used for job evaluation in that case. So job grading or classification is the next way in which one can do job evaluation. Here the first step is to use a number of job related factors such as education. Say you have got 50 jobs to be evaluated, and then you are supposed to classify it into 5 to 6 ways or maximum 10, and then you are going to compare the different kinds of jobs, and then on various factors you will say what is the education required for doing this particular job, whether it only 5th or 10th is enough, whether a diploma is required, whether a degree is required, whether a master's is required to do that job. Then his experience, whether he is a fresher person, whether 2 to 5 years experience is good enough to do this job well, or 5 to 10 years or 20 years. So accordingly one can go on enumerating the different kinds of factors for a particular job and then classify them in groups. And what are the responsibilities for this particular type of job that you are thinking of? If there is no responsibility, you are supposed to do your own work, naturally it will go down. But if you are supposed to get the work done from others, you are responsible for others' work also and accountable for that, then naturally it will require lot of mental acumen, lot of interpersonal relationship, communication skills, etc., leadership skill, problem solving skill, analytical skills, lot of skills will be required to do all that. And hence naturally where you are more and more responsible and more accountable for a large number of people, naturally you will be required to be paid higher as compared to the others. So one can group the jobs into different kind of levels. Say the classes or grades can be clerical job, where more or less the people are at the most 12 pass or graduates. Not too much of experience is needed in that, then not much of responsibility and accountability will be there because they are not getting the work done from others. So clerical, technical, in technical again you can be highly skilled, semi-skilled, unskilled, maybe semi-skilled or unskilled in technical. Say nursing is a technical job, physiotherapy, x-ray technician, ECG technician, EEG technician in a hospital, this will come under technical. Nursing will be apart from technical, one can say it goes beyond that also, because they are supposed to take care of the patient and lot of responsibilities are there for nurturing the patient, nursing the patient and all. So this will go at a higher level than technical. The next step will be to create generic or benchmark job descriptions for each grade or class. So once you have decided out of 50 jobs, suppose you have decided that we can have 10 classes of jobs in job classification, then for each class overall what is the requirement, say what is the educational requirement, whether it is 10 pass, whether it is 12 pass, whether it is graduation, whether it is diploma, whether it is degree, whether it is masters, whether it is PhD, doctorate, and experience, whether a fresher can do, or 0 to 2 years or 2 to 5 years or 5 to 10 years or 10 to 20 years. So based on that, for each job class you can decide and then benchmark them as per that and make a proper job description for each class, and then fit these 50 into individually into one particular class. Individual jobs are classified in relation to these grade descriptions. Degree to which following conditions are present, that is importance of the job, will tell us whether the supervision or leadership of subordinates is required, to what degree it is required, cooperation of associations not in line with authority, probability and consequences of errors. If it is very high, then naturally they should be paid more, that class will go up. Initiatives and resourcefulness, whether a person is going to take initiative, and in a case of liaisoning officer, he should be having very resourceful to get the work done for the hospital at a larger level. Minimum experience requirements, whether it is 5 years, 10 years and all that. Minimum education requirement also will tell us. So this is how one can make the job classification. Usually 8 to 10 job classification is good enough. One should not have 25 and 30 job classifications made, because then it will be difficult. The third method of job evaluation is factor comparison method. Here you are selecting certain factors which are going to be common to all jobs, and you are going to select certain key jobs first and then see which all factors will be more important for these, at what level, how much weightage you can give to that particular factor. So arrangement of key jobs on the basis of each of the factors previously chosen, and then you rank is given to this. So comparison of all other jobs with the key jobs and the assignment of them under each factor used, and the consideration of these ranks in establishing an overall evaluation of each job as compared to others is done. And this is what is known as factor comparison method. The five standard factors which are used for factor comparison method are mental efforts needed. That means you should be emotionally and mentally strong for that. You will be able to get the work done from others. You are accountable and responsible for certain things. Then what are the skills required? Skill can be in case of, say, grinder, grinding is a skill, welder, welding is a skill. In case of ECG technician, to take the proper ECG is a skill, X-ray technician, nursing. So it will depend how much skill is required in each kind of job. Then physical requirements, how much physical requirement is needed. A manual labor will need more physical requirement. His muscles should be strong, back should be strong, then only he can lift the patient, which who can be obese, say 100-120 kg patient also. When he is being shifted from OT table to the bed, the manual labor who is the ward boy, his physical requirements may be more. Then what is the responsibility for the work of others? If he is responsible, then responsibility. And what are the working conditions in which a person is working, whether there are a lot of hazards, say lot of heat in which he is working, or it is very cold temperature in which he is working, or whether there is vibration or noise in machinery around if he is working there. So based on that, higher the hazards in the working condition, the higher the salary should be paid to that person, and that is one of the factors to be considered. And based on these five factors, one can assign these to each kind of key jobs, and then other jobs can be made under this each key job, and then this factorization can be done with five factors, and then decided about the salary structure to be given based on this classification. Then comes the point system. This is the widest used job evaluation method, which can be used for both clerical and manual skill positions also and higher. This system involves quantifying a set of job factors by allocating points to each factor. Say for education, if you have given 30 points, for experience if you have given 25 points, for mental efforts if you have given say 15 points, for responsibility if you have given 15 points, for working conditions you have given 5 points, like that you can assign a particular points for this and then arrive at total amount of points for that particular job, key job that is there. Typically, each factor is divided into a number of levels, each with a specific definition, where you can again decide that if this kind of working condition is there, it is 20% out of the 5 point that you are arriving at, it is 40%, 60%, like that. So it can be time consuming, no doubt. It is expensive and difficult, and there can be some subjective considerations. Somebody will say that no, this is not the way it should be taken. It should be given 10% rather than 5%. So there can be some subjective consideration in this. Now, this is how you can do job evaluation by these four methods, based on the number of jobs, the types of jobs, based on the agreement of the team members of the committee that you have formed for job evaluation. And after that also, it is not that based only on this job evaluation you are supposed to have the wage and salary structure to be formulated. There are certain other factors also one has to take into consideration beyond job evaluation. One important factor is the prevailing rates in the region where the hospital is situated. So even though as per the job evaluation that you have done with whatever method you have used, whether it is ranking or job classification or factor method or point method, suppose you feel that for this particular job, 25,000 per month is the right amount to be given. But if there is in the locality where your hospital is situated, if for a similar kind of job, usually other hospitals are paying them 30,000, then you cannot pay 25,000, otherwise your employees are likely to run away from your hospital and go to other hospitals at the earliest possible chance. And then you won't be having experienced people with you regarding that particular job. So the prevailing rates in the region where the hospital is situated also should be taken into consideration. Then what is the custom within the hospital? Now the HR policies which have been formed as per the top management's concurrence, suppose they say that we are going to take only seniority into consideration regarding the wage and salary in future, then as the seniority goes up, their wage and salary goes on increasing. But while some of the hospitals will say that only seniority is not enough, one should have merit, one should show something positive which is achieving our objectives in a better way, then only we are going to give them more increment and more salary and wages and some perks. Somebody will say no, we are going to consider both of them, because finally he is loyal to our hospital and he is remaining for a longer time with us, so that also should be considered. And partly we will say that 50% for the loyalty or seniority and 50% for the merit. We'll consider both of it half-half, or maybe 60-40 or 70-30 or whatever ratio they want to, and accordingly they are going to assign the points to them, and then accordingly they can do the wage and salary for that particular employees. So custom within the hospital, then assignment of higher responsibility to a particular job in the interest of the hospital. Somebody is going to have a higher responsibility when he is promoted, naturally he can be given a higher salary. Raising the salary level in a given position to attract potential candidates. If there is a scarcity of particular kind of skilled employees, then naturally one can pay them more. So there your salary level may go up for this particular kind of skilled people. So let's understand what are the various components of compensation. First and foremost will be basic pay. So basic pay also will vary from the job classification to job classification. For the unskilled person, the basic pay may be say 200 rupees. For the semi-skilled, it can be 300. For the skilled, it can be 500. For the highly skilled, it may be 800. For the clerical, it can be 1000. For the supervisor, it may be 1200. For the nursing, it may be 2000 or 2700. So based on the type of job a person is doing, as per the job classification we have made, higher the job ranking, naturally their basic pay also will be higher. Then comes dearness allowance, that is based on the cost of living index. Regularly the government is calculating the cost of living index, or CPI we say, consumer price index, and based on that one can have the dearness allowance to be given. Now their dearness allowance also, some people are attaching it to the basic pay that a person is getting, some percentage of that they are giving, while some are doing based on the job grade that they are having and then increasing it proportionately accordingly. So dearness allowance is another way in which the compensation is given. Then comes HRA or house rent allowance. So when a person is staying in a metropolitan city, naturally if a person takes the flat on rent to stay there, he will have to pay much more as compared to the tier 2 cities or in a rural area. Suppose the bank is there in which the employee is working. If the bank branch is in rural area, that employee will get lesser HRA as compared to the bank branch which is there in Mumbai, Kolkata, Chennai or Delhi. And in between, if it is in Hyderabad, Secunderabad, like that, it can be higher than the rural area and lesser than the metropolitan city can be given. So HRA. Then city compensatory allowance, because the inflation is much more in metropolitan cities, there city compensatory allowance also will be different. Then uniform allowance, in case of nurses they require uniform which should be pressed, which should be absolutely clean, spotless. So doctors, aprons will be required, for technicians aprons will be required, so they may be given uniform allowance per month. Mess allowance, if the free food is not given to the employees in the canteen of the hospital, then they may be given mess allowance per month in their salary, which can vary from say 1000 rupees to 1500 rupees and things like that. Then night allowance, those who are working basically in third shift, since they are working in odd hours, their sleep may be disturbed, circadian rhythm is going to be changed, and hence they may be given additional pay for that, which can be considered as night allowance. Gratuity, as per the Payment of Gratuity Act, one has to give gratuity to a person who is working for more than 5 years for your hospital, and when he leaves, if he has resigned, based on the number of years he has worked, 15 days salary should be given to him per year of service. And if he has worked for more than 15 days for a particular, more than 6 months for a particular year, 6 months or more, then that full year is considered as full year, and as per that 15 days salary will be given for that particular year also. So 15 by 26 multiplied by number of years of service multiplied by his basic and DA, that's how it is calculated. Why not half? Because usually Sundays are holidays for them. So 15 by 26 when you do, it will be higher than 15 by 30 and the employee will be benefited that much. So this is how gratuity is calculated and given, which is a part of compensation. Then overtime. When a person is working beyond 48 hours per week, or if it is in case of foreign countries, usually it is 40 hours per week. Then beyond that, whenever a person is working, he is given overtime, which can be 1.5 times the salary what he is getting at present for the work he has done for overtime. Although this is given in the Factories Act, and Factories Act is not directly connected to the hospitals, but usually people are giving like that. So now how are pay levels determined? How you are going to determine how much pay should be given for what kind of work? So compensation administration, if we see, the process of determining a cost effective pay structure that will attract and retain employees, it should be cost effective pay structure. That means when you are going to pay somebody for the kind of work he is doing as a compensation, you have to get out of him more than that, then only you can run the hospital. So it should be cost effective, right? Because finally you have invested a lot for taking the plot, you have developed the infrastructure, you have put in lot of equipments, you have done lot of formalities with the government and semi-government people to start the hospital, to maintain the hospital, again lot of housekeeping, lot of things are required. So ultimately any corporate who is starting a hospital, the basic aim of that corporate is to earn profits out of it. So when giving salary to the employees, naturally he is going to get much more out of that. So suppose he is going to pay 5000 rupees to a person per month as a sweeper, he has to get at least 10,000 out of it, then only he can afford that kind of thing, because ultimately he also needs profit to run the hospital and to run his family also, right? So return on investment or return on capital employed, one has to think about that always. So the process of determining cost effective pay structure, that's why we say the pay structure should be cost effective. That will attract, but at the same time they should be able to attract and retain employees, otherwise they are going to run away from your hospital and you are not going to achieve the hospital objectives, strategic objectives that you have kept for your hospital. It should be providing an incentive for them to work hard. They should be motivated, they should be inspired to work hard and ensure that pay levels will be perceived as fair. At the same time they should feel that they are getting pay level which is fair for them and which they deserve for the type of work they are doing. The primary pay determination is the kind of job that the person is doing. Naturally, unskilled person will get less than skilled person. The person in a supervisory cadre should get more than the worker cadre, and manager cadre should get more than supervisory cadre people, because of higher and higher responsibilities and accountabilities they are going to have, and lot of mental effort is required and lot of education, experience, etc. is also required to achieve to that level. So the higher the skills, more the knowledge and more the abilities needed in the job, this will be kept at a higher level. So greater the responsibility and authority, naturally you should give higher the pay to them. So what determines the pay and benefits? This is a beautiful chart given where you can see the various factors which are going to tell you what all things is going to determine regarding pay. The levels of compensation and benefit will depend on employee's tenure as well as performance. So the seniority of the person will also naturally every year some increment is given unless he is not performing at all. So his seniority as well as his performance, both are taken into consideration. Better the performance, higher the pay he'll get. Then the size of the company, usually larger the size of the company, usually you get higher the salary. Usually when you are going to work in multinational companies or the multinational hospitals chain, you are going to get higher salary. Then geographical location, usually you get higher salary if you are going to work in a hospital which is located in a metropolitan city as compared to tier 2 city. Then what is the management policy regarding payment of overall compensation structure? That also will vary from management to management, and that also will give you accordingly. Then labor or capital incentive, whether the organization in which you are working, is it labor intensive or capital intensive? If it is labor intensive, that means the major profit for the hospital, as we know, or a service industry, is coming because of the hospital employees or the employees of that service organization, then naturally you are likely to be paid more as compared to when it is more of capital intensive organization. Because there, like financial institution, where more of capital is required, which is going to give you more of interest or the bonds, etc., that you are going to float, you are going to get more from money from that. So your own people who are going to work towards it may get little less salary as compared to that. So whether it is labor intensive or capital intensive, and unionization also is going to vary. Wherever in a hospital a strong union is there, in the collective bargaining they are going to fight more while negotiating, and they are going to get more for their employees. So you'll have to pay more to the employees if you are got a strong union and the kind of business that you are having. If you are having a manufacturing organization where FMCG is there, then you are likely to get more, because usually fast moving consumer goods are there, everybody needs consumer goods, so you are likely to be paid more. In IT again, since most of the business is export oriented and more of America, and these people are using this business people where they are going to pay in dollars and the dollar rate is going high, so usually IT people are being paid better salary as compared to others. Similarly in hospitals, if it's a multi-speciality hospital from a multinational company chain, then you will be paid more as compared to the local hospital. If you are going into a smaller hospital like nursing home and all, probably you will be paid less as compared to the bigger hospitals. So kind of business that hospital is doing also will vary, and accordingly the payment will be given. Then kind of job profile that is there, the type of job that you are doing will also give you accordingly the salary. So for each factor there are different multiple factors which may be there, which you can go through. Now many organizations are using alternative approaches to determine compensation, which includes, one is skill based pay. Some of the organizations say that those people who are highly skilled will be paid more as compared to those who are semi-skilled, as compared to those who are unskilled. So a pay system that rewards employees for the job skills and competencies they can demonstrate to achieve better results for the job will be paid more. Like in marketing and sales people, what happens? Usually those who are able to sell more, they are given incentives so that they are going to be paid more as compared to those who are able to sell less. So the skills that these sales people have got is wonderful. They are able to convince the consumers that our products are best and you should take this as compared to the other company's products. So this is how you can have skill based pay.